Welcome to Central Vineyard. I'm Jeff, my wife and I, co-pastor, and you saw her earlier. Just wanted to give a quick intro to John McCollum, who I've been friends with since I was in sixth and he was seventh grade. And all I'm going to say is the journey of Asia's Hope in so many ways has actually paralleled my own personal life journey in very odd, like Lincoln Kennedy type coincidental ways. And
hopefully it doesn't end up like
that. I cannot tell you how excited I am by the next stage of evolution in our partnership here, and finally you get to hear about it.
Awesome. Absolutely. Yeah, Lincoln Kennedy, that's not a bad omen at all for talking about our partnership. No. It's great to be back here. How many of you were not here last week? All right, okay. So this is the second week of a two-part thing. If you go and you search the web or if you go to centralvineyard.com and go to click the podcast link, if you're interested, you can click the podcast and you can sort of catch up on it. Although, you know, I think this should be comprehensible on its own. It's really cool this morning. I have my entire nuclear family here. My son, Pac, is up in Sunday school or CV Kids. You know, when I say nuclear family, and this morning it just occurred to me that, again, that could imply that if it blows up, lots and lots of people would get hurt. But, you know, actually when Corey and I started coming to the church, we are some of the oldest people. We still are, but some of the oldest people, and we had some of the oldest kids. And so I'm friends with a lot of you who have much younger kids, and I'm even friends with some people who are just starting out having kids. And so I always tell people, you've probably heard me say something like this about the different stages of parenting, because people are like, well, what's it like, you know, having, you know, college-age kids or having middle school kids? And it's like, well, I tell them infants are exhausting. I didn't like the infant stage. Infants are exhausting. You know, they're actually, to me, they're not that much fun. People are like, oh, I love them when they're babies, but they don't really interact much. They just kind of poop and eat, and they're, you know, and if they smile, you're not sure they're really even smiling at you, you know. And then from age 2 to 3, the kids are definitely more interesting, but they can be really infuriating because they're old enough to exert their will, but they're not old enough to, like, reason with them, you know, or to have any sort of, you know, interaction that you can get your point across. From 3 to 9, that's when I think they're absolutely fascinating. I think they're fascinating. 3 to 9 was like the super years, because they're learning all sorts of new stuff, and they're learning the cool things, like learning, well, you know, they've hopefully learned to walk by then, but they're learning to read, they're learning to ride a bike. If they're interested in sports, they can actually kick a soccer ball or hit a baseball, or maybe they're learning a musical instrument, and they still think you're awesome. You know, they still think you're the smart one. They still think, you know, and then they get, like, honestly, you know, I hate to say this. And anyone here from the age of 9 to 13 right now, you're boring. I mean, you know, a little bit boring because it's like, you know, you've already learned all the stuff you're going to learn from us. Like the big milestone stuff, and then you're starting to learn stuff from, you're starting to get into that age, like that next age, like 13 to 17, where you're terrifying. You know, because you've learned all the stuff we're going to teach you. Around that 9 to 13, you start learning stuff from your friends and not from us, and you start coming home, and the parents are like, where did you pick that up, that idea? And then you start to, like, get, like, where you can, like, walk to the store by yourself or drive a car. You know, now you're starting, like we told our kids at a certain age, now you're making mistakes. If you make certain mistakes, these are big-time ones that could, like, majorly affect a lot of stuff. And then from, like, 17-plus, in our experience, really thankful, we started looking at our kids coming out of that terrifying stage and going, man, I feel like I might be able to sit down and have a beer with this kid at some point in time, and you know, and move into that new stage where, you know, like life is, you know, you're now at a stage where you're seeing what these kids, your cake is baked. I tell people that all the time. You know, by the time they're 16 or 17 years old, you know, just chasing down that behavior modification, you can't even, and the character modification, the cake is kind of baked. And they're going to become what they're going to become, and you're going to start entering that stage where you're both comforted and sobered by what, you know, someone told me once, you know, parents, we take too much credit for and too much blame for what our kids do and become, you know? So that's where Corey and I right now is. You know, I found that every stage in reality, I joke about some of the stages, but they all have their rewards, and they all have their unique challenges and present their unique opportunities for you as a parent to grow and for the kids to grow. And Corey and I are kind of at that stage where so we've got two college-age boys. They're adults, like they're adults. Sometimes you call them kids. Sometimes when I talk about this, when I talk about some of the ages up, I'll say kids, but they're really adults. And we've got a 13-year-old daughter. She's in middle school, high school next year. I can hardly believe it. You know, and Corey and I were kind of at that stage where that empty nester thing is right around the corner. You know, start to see, you know, when you're real young and you see somebody with, and you haven't had kids, you see someone with a baby, and you go, oh, that'll be us sometime. Now when you're our age, you see someone a baby, you go, oh, that'll be us sometime. You know, a few years, please, like 4, 5, 6, you know, that be grandparents. You know, and it changes our life stage. We find ourselves, you know, realizing that we may have the time and the maybe even the money to do things we haven't been able to do for the last 20 or so years, like take a vacation or buy a car that has less than 100,000 miles when you buy it type stuff, like, you know, things like that. And we're still committed to our family and our kids, but the relationship changes as we give them the keys to their life. And that's really what you know, this stage in our life looks like, especially with our boys and you know, increasingly with Shudan. You know, you get keys to the house so they can let themselves in and out. They get keys to the car. But eventually, it's like they get keys to their own life. And as Jeff said, the life stage of Jeff and Adrian and Corey and I have, and the sort of the life stage of our Asia's Hope partnership have really mirrored themselves in a lot of ways. If you weren't here last week, I'll recap and review just a little bit. So in the summer of 2006, our church did something really interesting. We decided to do the very first full home sponsorship that Asia's Hope had. We had 3 children's homes already, but each of them were individual sponsorships. We didn't know how we were going to grow and build and pick up momentum because we're a tiny organization. And Jeff said, why don't we just take one all of ourselves? Why don't we just take one and pay all the bills? And at that time, it was like 50% of the church budget, which is crazy. If any of you know anything about, you know, planning churches or businesses, 50% of the budget for a new initiative is crazy. But you guys showed the leadership then, have continued to. And a lot of churches followed us. We went from since that time, 2006, Asia's Hope has gone from 3 children's homes, so about like less than 100 kids, now to 34 children's homes. We have more than 800 kids in full-time care. Praise God. And the reason we've been able to do that, and our staff in the U.S. has stayed basically the same size, like 3 people. And the reason we've been able to do that is because churches will come along, and that was pioneered by the vision and the faithfulness and, you know, the willingness to step out that we did here at Central Vineyard Church. And so today, as I said last year, we're at this stage where in about a year, the Prekang 2 Children's Home in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, it's called Prekang 2, Prekang's the area of town we're in, this home, which at one point in time had 24 kids, the capacity is 20 to 24 kids, is going to have 6 kids left living at the home because they're growing up and they're going to college. 2 of our kids have already graduated university, Soktun and Srey Kha. 8 more are in university right now. I think we have 3 more graduating next year from university. 4 more are going to go to university next year, and that leaves just like 6 kids at the home. And so it's one of these things we start to look and go, what's next? What opportunities does this provide? And when I say we, I'm the director of Asia's Hope, as well as being a pastor here at this church. So this is the one place where I wear those 2 hats and kind of have to, or get to take them on and off. But, you know, this has been coming for a while. You know, we track sort of our demographics and see where things are going. In the same way at home, you know when your kids are likely to graduate high school and go to university. You know, we've been talking about this for a while. And as we began to envision this new stage at the Prekang 2 home, as we talked about the ramification for all of the homes are sort of on this path. There are a couple more where the kids are this age. Right now, Asia's Hope, actually, we have like 120 kids in university right now. All of them, by the way, are getting full ride scholarships because of their partnering churches, like and people who give to our scholarship fund. Jeff said, "What?" We started saying, "What's next?" And I said, "Well, there are a lot of options." And here's what he said. He said, "We're committed to Asia's Hope, and we're committed to the kids that we've sponsored at Prekang too. But as we look to the future, the question I have is, where do you need us most? Where do you need Central Vineyard Church most?" And that's something that, last week we talked about courage and leadership. I said, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing what you're afraid of because you know it's the right thing and a good thing to do. Or as Kim said this morning, it's saying yes even though you're afraid. Or as I think, was it Franklin Roosevelt? Who did I quote last week? Franklin Roosevelt, who said that fear isn't the courage isn't the absence of fear, it's the recognition that there's something more important than that fear. And so, and we talked about leadership as being challenging the conventional wisdom, and because of Central Vineyard's leadership and courage, and this isn't just Jeff, and it's not just Adrian, it's not just the people who are at the church. All of us who have been here have sacrificed things that maybe we could have done, other things we could have done, other amenities we could have had for ourselves. We've said no to other opportunities because we've been saying yes. We helped start a movement. And we helped save not just the lives of the kids at Prekang too, but all the homes that came after. And not only that, we have changed the lives of tens of thousands of people who are at churches. Probably, I think I counted once, there are maybe 300 people or so in our little church here. There's about 20,000 to 25,000 people right now who are in Asia's Hope churches right now. Who, if Central Vineyard hadn't come forward and said, yeah, I think we can do this as a whole church, none of them would have had the opportunity to give to and be involved in Asia's Hope like we have. Right now we're in this stage by Jeff saying, what's next? What do we need? I think we're in this stage where we can once again show that kind of courageous leadership into this next generation. Jeff said, where do you need us? That's something that every leader likes to hear. You know, a lot of times as leaders, you go, you should do this, or we should do this. And, you know, when people say to a ministry leader or a church leader, we should do this, what it usually ends up meaning is, you should do this. You should do this, and man, I'm going to cheer you on. One of the things that was such a blessing is to hear Jeff and the people of the church say, what is it that you need? That's not only personal encouragement to me, but it's a blessing to Asia's Hope. It means that I'm not carrying the burden alone, that we're not carrying the burden alone at Asia's Hope, that we've got a church that says, we're willing to roll with the punches with you, we're willing to take daring steps with you. And what I told Jeff is, I said, we need somebody to lead churches in a new ministry model, just like Central Vineyard did 12 years ago with the first church-sponsored home. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you for bringing us here. I know, God, that everyone who is here this morning is here because you called them here. Regardless of whether you thought you got up this morning for one purpose or another, I believe that you're here because God called you here. So God, we come and we because we know that you called us here, you invited us here, we have an expectation that you have something to encourage us with, something to challenge us with. And I pray, God, just as 12 years ago, the people who were in that room that Sunday had a special role in something new for Asia's Hope, I believe with all my heart that the group you've assembled this morning is a group that will also lead into the future. And so we come with anticipation, and we ask you to bless us and lead us forward and give us the resources we need. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible, in Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, I'm going to read this. And it said, children are a heritage from the Lord, and offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is one whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame. It's an interesting verse. I mean, the Bible's an ancient book that we believe still has relevance to us today. So this idea of a quiver and a warrior and all that sort of stuff. The quiver is like the thing you put the arrows in. But what I want to focus on is this idea of children being a heritage from the Lord. The idea of a heritage is, we know what a reward means. It means, hey, that's great. I want to just say, it doesn't mean that if you don't have kids, you haven't been rewarded. That's one of the great things about a ministry like Asia's Hope. Some of the people who have been most generous to Asia's Hope in our church and throughout are single people, are people who may not have kids, people who have been divorced, people who are in various life stages. But and we get to all share in this. So these children that we have invested in at Asia's Hope directly through Prekang 2 and indirectly through the rest of the ministry, they're a heritage. The idea of a heritage is that it's something that will outlast you, something that will go beyond you and expand anything you put in input. You know, once you've invested in that heritage, it grows, and it grows beyond your original investment. It gathers resources beyond your own reach. It reminds me, when I think about this verse in this context, I think about in Hebrews 12, it says that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so, therefore, we're going to run this race, really well and try to get the prize. And that idea of this idea that the people who went before us, they're like cheering us on, whether it's from heaven or, that they're looking at us and they provided us the resources. They're the ones who, throughout church history, throughout our family history, the people who invested in us are cheering us on. And that's something that I think about when I think about that heritage. What a great opportunity not only to feel that we've been cheered on by the people who went before us, but to serve in that role for the lives of these other churches and these kids. So that's the context I want to think about as we talk about this. I want to tell you about my last trip to Cambodia. I was there this summer with my family, all three of my kids, and Corey and I were in Cambodia and Thailand, and we had a fantastic time. We got a chance to do something a little bit new. I had the pleasure. We went to Battambang, Cambodia. You may have heard we hear about Prekang a lot in Phnom Penh. You might hear us talk about Battambang if you're around Asia's Hope. Battambang is another city in Cambodia where Asia's Hope has a bunch of children's homes. Actually, our very first homes were there. We also have a school. And in Battambang province and the surrounding provinces, that's where the Vineyard church plants are that we're involved in. So when Jeff goes over to Cambodia and he's talking about Vineyard, and Peter, when they're talking about Vineyard churches, it's in that area too. So we went to Battambang, and I had the pleasure of throwing a party, a dinner party. It ended up turning into a dance party with about 50 university students in Battambang. These kids, they grew up at Asia's Hope, they graduated, and now they're going to college. And actually, including some of these kids who are in the student center, were the very first Asia's Hope kids. The very first kids we ever had, there's me and some of those kids. I think specifically about Chantia. So you see Chantia there in the front? This is our very first group of kids that we ever brought in, the Battambang 1 home. Now there are 13 in Battambang. Battambang 1, there's Chantia a couple years later. This is Chantia now. She's a university student. She's studying, getting a degree in marketing. Her younger brother, who was always the little teeny one, he's now entering university as well. Got a chance to throw this party, and this party was celebrating the opening of a new university student center. You hear us talk a lot about children's homes at Asia's Hope, and that, we really are about, children's homes, family-style children's homes for orphan kids. But as we all know, kids grow up. Kids grow up. So it used to be, when I would think about Asia's Hope and that, and think about our kids, they were all little kids running around like the kids we might have at CV Kids. Now, a significant portion of our kids are in college. Actually, in a couple years, I think in 3 years, we're going to have like 220 kids in university at the same time. So Asia's Hope is really becoming not just an organization that rescues and raises kids, but one that trains them and prepares them for independent adulthood, gives them the leadership skills they need to go into the future. So this party was celebrating the University Student Center. It's actually pretty cool. We were able to rent two really nice apartment buildings. They're side by side. They're in a little cul-de-sac near the old abandoned airport right outside of town. Beautiful two, what are they, four stories? Four stories, something like that? Yeah, four story. They actually are really, really quite nice. What we've done is we've created this place so that when our kids go off to university, instead of, you know, going off necessarily into dorms or going off and renting apartments, we've given them the opportunity to come with their siblings that they were raised with at Asia's Hope, with their cousins from the Asia's Hope homes, to come to this student center where they can be in a safe, loving Christian environment that will serve as a transition to independent adulthood. It's one of the many things that are different about Asia's Hope. You hear a lot about aging out. This is the problem with orphanages. They age out kids, and there's no plan for them. Well, not only do we not age out kids, some of our kids don't graduate high school until they're 23 or 24 because they had a late start, but we're also providing them opportunities to get an education and also to continue their connection with the Asia's Hope family. They're also being discipled by a Christian family who lives in the center with them. This is Sok and his wife Borathi. They're experienced pastors. They have three daughters, Soktina, Socheta, and Alyssa. And so it was just a joy to hang out with their kids. Their positivity was amazing. I really do love college kids, even here in America, you know. But here, just like all of us college kids, you know, we're tend to be a snarky. You know, we can be a cynical bunch, and you know, you put together any 40 or 50 college kids for a party in the U.S., and it, you know, sometimes it's not always, positivity wouldn't always be the descriptor that you go, but this was just their positivity, their achievement. These kids come from nothing. You know, there's really nothing poorer, and nobody in the world that I can think of that has a much worse prospect for success in life than like a Cambodian orphan kid. But these kids have worked hard and they've achieved coming from nothing. They're preparing to be doctors. We get kids who want to be doctors, bankers, pastors, teachers, graphic designers even. Wow. Entrepreneurs. And they have so much promise. There's so much promise. And you know, these kids, Cambodia really needs these kids. Cambodia is about 2% Christian. Cambodia has one of the highest corruption indexes in the entire world. People ask me, what's the form of government in Cambodia? It's technically a constitutional monarchy, but I tell people it's a mafiocracy. And that's really, you know, how it tends to operate. But we've got kids who, you know, have an opportunity to infuse this class of future leaders in Cambodia with a group of young adults who love Jesus. They're highly accomplished. They're ambitious. They have a heart for the poor and the oppressed. I think of another kid, Kakrona, who last week I told you, Srey Ka, one of the girls who grew up at the Prekang 2 orphanage, she was the first of two kids to receive a full graduate scholarship through us that we're doing this. We're calling the Exemplary Scholars Fellowship. She was the very first one, and she wants to go into NGO management, which is really good. We're growing our next generation of leaders. There's another boy named Kakrona, and he just graduated with a degree in economics. He's getting a seminary degree, and he wants to go back, and he's going to get a degree in law. He was the second one who received this scholarship, and he grew up in one of our Battambang homes. And when you talk to him, he says, I want to be highly educated, I want to be highly skilled, I want to become influential, not because I want it for myself, but so that I can help kids who are like me. So I can help Cambodia and help kids like me. These are the type of kids I had a chance to hang out with. And so all of this said about this student center, we're going to need a lot more of these. This is something we're going to need a lot more of. And this is the opportunity that we're taking right now to invest in the future of Cambodia at Central Vineyard Church. So we're going to be engineering a new kind of partnership in the same way that 12 years ago we said, man, we're going to take on the Prekang 2 Children's Home. We're going to be the first church that's going to take on a whole home. Starting in October, we're going to be inviting another partner. I can't share their names right now because they haven't shared it with their people yet. But a partner, it's a Christian business. We're really anxious to get businesses involved. A Christian business, the guy who runs the business, he and his wife, they have a family of five. They've adopted three kids from China. They've been involved in orphan care all around the world. Now they're really focusing on Asia's Hope, and they really want to get involved with a children's home. So we are going to invite them to take over the monthly operational cost for the Precking Two Children's Home. The home that we've supported from the very beginning, we're going to give them the responsibility for the monthly operational costs in preparation for this next generation of kids and possibly staff at Precking Two. So as we stand at this sort of vista looking at the next generation, when do we start bringing in homes, we're going to invite in this other partner in. And what Central Vineyard's going to do is we are going to continue to retain the scholarship partnership of all the kids at the Precking Two. So what this means is all of those kids that we said that are in college and that are going to college, Central Vineyard Church is still going to sponsor those kids. And they're going to be at the Student Center in Phnom Penh. And we're going to still visit those kids. We're going to still be a part of those life. But as the new generation of kids comes in, we're going to have another partner that's going to come in and take that so that we can take the full sponsorship of the University Student Center in Bat Nam. Yeah. So that means that not only will we continue to have, and by the way, it's not just the kids who are in college right now at Precking Two. We're going to continue to pay for the younger kids, the 6 kids that are still at the home, all the way through. So for the next 10 years, we're likely to have direct responsibilities for kids in Precking. And we'll continue to visit and be a part of that, and we'll always be a grandfather, sort of grandmother legacy sponsor there, even long into the future. But these 50 kids... And we're going to need more of these, but we need to invite churches. We need to have people do what they did the first time and say, well, if you guys can do this, we can do this. Because we need another one in Bat Nam in about 3 or 4 years. We're going to need another one in Phnom Penh because we have one in Phnom Penh that's right now it's overflowing. We got a bunch of individual sponsors that are supporting that, but we're going to invite churches in to do that. We need at least 2, maybe 3 in Thailand. We're going to need one in a few years in India as all those kids who are in high school begin to go to university. And what we need is, from an Age of Hope perspective, we need a church that's willing to say, hey, we can kind of stumble through this at times. We can try to figure out, is 50 the right number, or is it 30? You know, or is it 60? Do we need 2 families that are in there? How much does it actually cost to do? Well, we have a budget, we know, and the money that we're freeing up by inviting someone else in at Precking 2 is going to cover it for now. But we want to have this test laboratory with an enthusiastic group of people so that other people can say, we can do that. I anticipate the same sort of thing. When we say this church is doing this, not only other churches far afield, but we have churches, Vineyard churches, that are already involved in Cambodia through Vineyard, but they don't have any stake in what Asia's Hope is doing. This gives us an opportunity to invite them into that as well. So that is something you're going to start hearing about a lot more. You're still going to see, and we're actually working on right now, as we work on some of our communication stuff, you're going to get a chance to see the pictures, get to know the names. When you go and visit Cambodia, you will still go to Precking if you come with Central Vineyard Church. You're still going to go, and you'll see Sita and Sreka and Sreipoa and Meta, and you'll see them as young adults. At some point in time, you'll get to hang out with their kids. But you're also going to have the opportunity to pour into the lives of these fantastic college students. And so this is something that we are super excited about. I'm super thankful for the responsiveness and the willingness of Jeff and Adrian and Carl and all the church staff in processing through this, and Peter, who is leading this up. And so I want to say a few things about this. If you have questions about this, hey, so do we. That's the point. That's why I'm trying to launch. We're launching this here and not someplace else. But if you have questions about this, there are going to be opportunities to talk about this. You can ask me. You can ask Peter specifically. Carl and Jeff, you can too. But Peter and I would be good people to talk to. If we realize that there are a lot more questions and a lot more interest in clearing up some of these questions. Then we have time on one-on-one. We'll host a question-and-answer session. And for those of you who are planning on going on trips, there's an upcoming trip. We'll cover this extensively. What does this mean for our trip? We have another city we're going to go visit. I think it's all good, and I think it's going to be super exciting. I would also say, if you've been giving to the church to support Age of Hope, please keep on giving. And please, if you, this is a great opportunity. If you haven't given yet, I would encourage you. You know, when we started taking on the university scholarships at Central Vineyard, we started out, I said it was like 50% of our budget. Well, our church grew and our budget grew and that. But then a few years when we started to realize, oh my gosh, all of these kids are going to go to college. You know, in Cambodia, I've said this before, you can really only expect like 10 to 12% of people to graduate high school. But like 80 to 90% of our kids at Age of Hope are going to college. And most of those are graduating high school, and then most of them are going to college or getting vocational training. So when we started to realize that that was where this was heading, our church, instead of saying, okay, I don't think we can do the college, we doubled down and asked again, and we opened that up again. But to be honest, the church has been for a long time, from the general church budget, has been covering the gap between what's given directly for Asia's Hope and what it actually costs, what they send to Asia's Hope every month. So if you have never given to Asia's Hope through Central Vineyard Church, I encourage you to maybe consider start doing that now if you can do that above and beyond your regular gifts to Central Vineyard. This is an exciting time. We want to continue to lead out in generosity. We think that as we find ourselves on a college campus now, having a church that has a large focus, not just in young kids in Cambodia, but on university students, this provides a whole lot of opportunities to extend God's grace and mercy and invitation into the kingdom, not just in Cambodia, but here. I'm going to ask Andy and whoever else is doing music to come up here. We're going to move into ministry time here. And while we do, what we do at our church is we also, and if there are people up who are trained to pray, which just means they're trained to not be weird when they ask you what you want God to help you with here in your life. If there's some of you to come up and get prayer, to give prayer, we take time at the end of every service, do a couple songs to quiet our hearts, and also to come to God and ask Him to meet us and change things in our life or in lives of people around us. And why don't you stand with me? Stand with me. And if you've wanted to show leadership, we've been talking about leadership for the last couple weeks, but I believe that God calls us to leadership, just like God called Kim and Monica long before their group was ever born or long before they ever said yes. I believe God is calling many here in this room towards courageous leadership. If that leadership looks like leadership in generosity, giving when you never thought you could give before, or leadership in ministry, or leadership in your family and your community. If when I say leadership and I say courageous leadership, it either fills you with a yes, 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 I'm ready for that, or a no, 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 and you'd like God to meet you and give you direction, I would encourage you, as we do a couple songs, that you would come up and get prayer. I would also say if there's anything at all, if you're sick, we believe in this church that sometimes when we pray, we get healed for things that if we didn't get prayer for, we wouldn't get healed for. If you're sick, if you've got relational stresses, job stresses, there are things that the question is, if God could come in and change something in your life or in your neighborhood or your family, it would transform your life and be a blessing to you. Well, why don't you come up and just tell somebody what that is, and then they'll join with you and ask God for that thing. And then one last thing. This has been a really, really rough week for so many of us. So many of you, especially those who have been victims of abuse, sexual abuse, domestic abuse, abuse of any kind, just watching the news play out and hearing other people's stories kind of being dragged out and watching that whole thing, it can touch some really vulnerable places and can cause some pain. And I believe that God has healing for you God has a new step that you can take, that if you just hold it inside and you don't ask somebody to pray for it, maybe that next step that you need to take in healing, maybe that would be delayed, or it would be accelerated if you would come for it and get prayer. So if you're hurting this week, especially in that area because you've been abused, you've been dehumanized by somebody else treating you as an object and not as as a precious brother or sister in God, I pray that you would come. We try to be a safe place. That's why sometimes we're awkward, because you can make it really safe if everything's just really under control and no one's ever awkward and everyone, you know, has, you know, nobody talks about tough stuff. That can be done, but that's not what we want to do here. That's not safe for people. So we're going to sing. Any of that stuff, come forward. And then after we do a couple songs, you can be dismissed. Grab somebody and get prayer. God bless you. Thank you for your courageous leadership. Can't wait to see what God does through this group going forward. Amen.